Nam mô Sư Đề Ra Sư Ni Gari Ma Ma Ba Ba La La Ta Na Phi Phu La Ni Ma Ji Ba Hu La Bin Na Hi Mi Na Shi Tu Ni Wo Ji Bismillah Rahman Rahim Inna Allah Wa Malai Wa Tu Hu Yusalluna Wa La Nabi Ya Ayyuhal Ladin Amanu Sallu Alayhi Wa Sallimu Taslima اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي البر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
If somebody, there's somebody who has written a poem, poetry, some verses, very beneficial from a certain poet, that nobody hears the call of the ghariyal, and he has the knowledge, the luggage of a long period of time. So we call the ghariyal the time, you know, like the clanging of the time. So Allah, every tick, every second gives us a message. So the call of time, the announcement of time, you know, like you have the clock that it ticks every second. You can hear that. So the poet says in his verse that in reality, what is this? That the ticking of the clock is a big message. It's an announcement. It's an announcement to people. But no, but you don't listen to the announcement. You're wasting the message, the call. And the call is, the message is that all life long, the luggage and the items you've gathered together, they won't be beneficial for you. 70 years, 80 years, you gathered and hoarded the wealth of this dunya, you gathered the items of this dunya, of this world. All life long you worked hard in the dunya, but in reality, in a second, all of this will vanish away. Within a moment, all of this will be detached from you. No man until today has taken any money with him when he's passed away. So this dunya, this world is not for this purpose, that we hoard and gather money and wealth and items of the world. Just within a split second, a blink of the eyelid, everything will vanish and you'll forget everything that's there. So in reality, the time that Allah has given to us, it's a limited time, very limited, very restricted, concise time period. Allah says the work you need to do in this concise time period is that time to come, you need to work for that. Make effort for that. You need to prepare for that time to come. And he is the successful person that if he goes there to the hereafter and he's got the wealth by living in this world and he's earned the wealth of the hereafter, he's the successful person. So if a person leaves this world with lots of money from this world, big status, big respect in this world, but it's nothing for the hereafter. These notes of this dunya don't run in the hereafter. The currency of riyal doesn't run in the hereafter. It's amal that runs in the hereafter. Deeds. And the whoever shows the big notes of amal, he will be purchasing in the hereafter. So that's the preparation. So to prepare for the hereafter, there's a certain methodology we need to understand. That preparation is useful if you do the preparation in the right way, with the right technique, you prepare. For example, if you're doing some work, but you're not doing it properly, you're not doing it in the right method, then you won't be preparing properly and the result won't be correct. So what you want to have halwa, and you are buying spices. Why are you buying the spices? Because I'm buying the salt. What are you going to cook? He says, I'm going to go and cook halwa. People are going to laugh at you. That these aren't the ingredients for halwa. You need to buy other ingredients. And this is our life in this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world to prepare. What preparation? Preparation is that we can go and present to Allah in His court. That this is what we brought to you, Allah. You sent us to the world and we brought this back to you. What did Allah ta'ala say? That what will you present to me? Which amal should you present to me? So you have to prepare for that in that way, isn't it? Isn't it? The things that we have to give to Allah when we go in the hereafter and present to Allah in His court, we need to do those actions. So Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, the amal, the deeds, the actions. Allah ta'ala says, بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that when you come to me, just bring one thing to me, that inside you, you should be clean and pure. Clean and pure. Allah is saying this, He who sent us here in this world. He didn't say anything else. He just said what? That inside you should be clean when you come to me. If you're not clean inside, then all these external actions, keep them to yourself. Allah says, I don't care about them. Allah says, I want you to be pure inside, sparkling. So this is that externally we decorate ourselves. Many actions a person does day and night, he's working hard to do amal, worship. He does ibadat, lots of things. Yes? Lots of physical effort. But what has Allah Ta'ala requested us to bring? The thing that Allah Ta'ala wants, the item that Allah Ta'ala wants that we have to present to us. Are we preparing for that? What is that? Purification on the inside. On the inside. Because the deeds that you're doing externally, but inside if you're dirty, then your external actions are dirty as well. Your amal also become dirty because your inside is dirty. I'll give you an example, a little example so you understand. That if you buy a house, and you go to see the house, to view the house, the property. And he was cunning, the guy selling the house. He put good wallpaper on the walls. He did nice paint externally, internally, decorated. And you sat there and you were in awe. Look at the walls, look at the finishing. Very good house. It's high quality. And straight away you buy the house. Straight away. And after you buy the house, you go and live in there, you move in, slowly, slowly starts to crumble, the expensive wallpaper starts to peel off and fall off the walls. You say, what's going on here? And then when that paper falls away, peels away, there's a crack here, and there's damp, you'll find out there's damp in the walls. So what did he do? That cunning seller, he deceived you. He deceived you. There was damp in the house, and the house was dirty, run down, full of damp. Moisture, but he put on the wallpaper, covered up the cracks, deceived you, and you bought it for what you thought was great price. But is this what you're going to do to Allah in the hereafter? Is this what you're going to do to Allah in the hereafter? That you are decorating your external self, big ibadah, worship, taqwa, big title, people are saying you are this, he's running after you, we're making noise, you're famous in the dunya. Fine, totally fine, no problem. But when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will Allah be deceived by us? No. What will Allah see there? Is there damp inside this person or not? First Allah's going to look for that. Hopefully you'll understand the example I gave you of the damp. The hair, you can deceive people, you'll sell the house with damp. But there you can't present the amal of damp, moisture. Only that, yes, salah is required there, fast is required there, hajj is required there, tilawat of Quran is required there, and after all of these amal, we need them. But what do we need? That internally there shouldn't be damp within those actions. Damp, rot. Do the amal, definitely do the worship. Yes, that get the house, but don't get the house with the damp in it. Don't purchase the house with the rot inside it. So Allah Ta'ala, when we present our deeds to Allah, what should they be? That internally you should be pure and clean internally. Now tell me how much a person works hard. This is the wrong method that we've adopted today. Our approach to the hereafter is wrong. Brothers, a very negative consequence will take place. Big regret will come in the hereafter. That we didn't understand the situation, the purpose of life, deen. We didn't take the right steps according to the Quran. We didn't travel on this journey properly according to the Quran's guidance. It's very necessary that if just you take a small action, but inside it's pure, then you'll get big, big amount in the hereafter. Big amount. And if you take big, big stacks of deeds and inside is dirty, you'll get not even a dot of a reward in the hereafter. So what do we need to work hard on, make effort? Allah says, prepare for the hereafter. How should you prepare for the hereafter? In which way? Which methodology? How? Brothers, how do we do it? Internally clean yourself, purify yourself. Purify yourself inside. That if 99.9, the time you have to spend in this dunya is to purify yourself internally, and 0.01 externally, or 1% externally. But we do, yes, faraid, and with the fadl of Allah, there's lots of fard, 5 salah fard in the year, there's 1 month of fasting, zakat, in your once in the end, hajj once in your life. The rest, all the effort, the rest of the days, the hours, and the life, especially in this day and era, in this day and age, this era, we have to work hard more on internal purification. Faraid are limited. Compulsory actions are limited in time as well. We have to emphasize internally. Don't never be deceived that there's no other path. We are following the wrong journey, the wrong path, if we don't follow this method. Don't we know what's inside us? So much dirt and disease and impurities that you cannot imagine, a person cannot imagine. He cannot imagine how much he's dirty inside. But outside he's got the cloak, he gets big title, respect, and people call out, oh, look at him, and people run after you. But if only that person knew that what's inside him. That such dirt, impurities inside that person, that his one sin is such that the angels run away from him 100,000 miles when he's praying salah, the angel won't come near him. So much dirt inside. A person's accumulated inside so much dirt, they run away from him. But we never think about it. That inside us, there's a life, there's a world, there's something going on inside. We never think about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Yes? So at least say something then if you understand what I'm saying. At least praise Allah, glorify Allah, so I understand that you understand what I'm saying. Yeah? Maybe you're not understanding, so then I get a bit hesitant. Maybe you don't understand. So acknowledge. So the right tariqah, the right method, a person who's preparing properly for their hereafter, who's afraid, who's got fear of death, and he wants to prepare, the sahih tariqah, he will be following, who's got fikr-e akhirah, concerned with the hereafter, then he'll be concerned about his batin. Internal self. Yaar, how can I take this dirt inside me to Allah? How can I present this salah to Allah? Look at this hajj I've done and this umrah I've done. How will I present these things to Allah? How? A person who has this passion and determination, subhanAllah, he is the successful person. This is the deen of the Sufis, mashallah. The friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, the khankas. This is the deen you'll find there. Look, one sin of inside, I'll tell you. Internal sin, which is the head of the sins. The head of the triangle. All sins are dirty and wretched. Take anger. Let's take anger. Now anger, can you imagine that anger is a part of our common daily life that we are proud of today. We're proud of this today. Such a big sin is anger that the person who commits anger, listen to this. The person who commits anger, never can he attain Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, can he never have a connection with Allah, nor will he attain Allah's radha, pleasure, or nor in the hereafter will he get any reward or status in the hereafter. Tell me, how can there be a bigger sin than this? Yes, I'm talking about anger to you. Anger. And this is so common today. Okay, another point. Another way, it's not just common, rather we are proud of our anger today. We are proud of our anger today. Oh, I was angry and I said this to him. I disrespected him so much. He'll remember in his life. Oh, he didn't know about my anger. I did this to him. And he's proud at that time. Oh, he couldn't dare to stop in front of me. I speak openly, direct. When I get angry, that I don't care. I don't listen to anybody. Look, see what I'll do to that person. So this is our pride in our lives today. And such a bad thing that I've just explained to you. The consequence that the person that is razil, wretched habit of anger, because it's the biggest thing that shaitan became shaitan. What made shaitan wretched was due to his anger. Kibr came after, pride came after. Remember this. First was anger of shaitan. After that, all the other sins it drags and pulls. Here, the kibr comes. Always anger brings kibr after. Behind anger is hidden what? Is kibr. Is the pride, haughtiness. Shaitan was angry first. Imagine, his anger came first, then came his kibr, and then see the game that he played. So, because he was defeated, he couldn't take it, he couldn't accept it. He said, oh, so due to this makhluk, human beings that have been cursed and expelled, I will also make them do sins, and I'll make them happy about their anger. Oh, he said, I'll do this. Like today we say, oh, look, I grabbed his neck, or I did this to him. And the person gets more angry. Today he's more respected in the dunya. Oh, look at him, he's angry. And that these are jahannami actions, how we are scattered today, scattered amongst these sins. So what will be his salah? What will be his fasting? What will be his hajj? Full of anger, his mouth full of anger. No one can speak in front of him. Okay, and then anger, he doesn't even look. With his anger, he demonstrates his anger more to those people who are weak, to the children, to youngsters, to those who are people who are weaker than him. He knows that I can do what I want, say what unto them, then he's more angry to those people. That can there be a bigger sin than this that will make a person wretched? As Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu, now I will, with regards to anger, I will not speak about a normal person. Two great sahaba, two great companions that you cannot imagine their status. Great tidings about these sahabi and their beloveds of Rasulullah. Allah loves them, they love Allah. About those sahaba I'm talking to you now, those sahaba. And I'm requesting you that this is a majlis of dhikr. Yes, this is a gathering of dhikr, but we talk about our improvement because the purpose of this gathering is our improvement. So I'm not one to give speeches. I'm not giving you a speech here. I've heard these words from our pious elders. Why do we do dhikr of Allah? I'm telling you the reason why we do dhikr of Allah. We do dhikr for this reason, because this is the real preparation for the hereafter. It's the right preparation for the hereafter when you do dhikr of Allah. Yes. So for this reason, with Allah's fadl, His grace, His blessings, due to the barakat of our pious predecessors, Allah gives us the tawfiq, we sit for a short while, to do His dhikr, so that we can talk to each other for our rectification improvement. Sit and listen, pay attention. Brothers, this is the luggage of hundreds of years, and it will go in a blink of an eyelid. The dunya could be tomorrow. Your ruh is being pulled. You'll say, where's all my amal, my deeds, where they're gone, all the wealth. And at that time, you'll be facing the hereafter. Today you have time, you have health, you have iman, you have belief, you have power, you have energy. The method that's been told us to prepare, then work your hardest sweat yourself to prepare for the hereafter. 100% day and night prepare for the hereafter, that I can improve, so that we can pull our akhirah together. And how will you improve your hereafter? The right preparation. What's the right preparation for the hereafter? That Allah Ta'ala, we have to present to Him. What is it we have to present to Him? Say loudly. What do you have to present to Allah? What is it? The purification of the batin, inner state. Clean, pure. Just if your batin is clean, then present the deeds to Allah. And Allah doesn't want the fake notes, not the fake deeds. Clean, pure amal. Your heart's clean, then your deeds will be clean. If your heart is dirty, then your deeds will be dirty. As Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, great companion. And the next companion, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. Imagine these two companions. If I start to speak about these two companions, we'll go on another subject. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu was one of the beloved companions, and he was such a companion that he had a great status in the sahab. He was a Sufi sahabi, darvish, devoted, that people say, where Sufism come from? Allah's Nabi Sallam gave his tarbiyah, Abu Zar Ghafari, because the sheikh was Rasulullah Sallam, the student was Abu Zar. And what tarbiyah did he do? That everything he learned from the Prophet Sallam, he was a darvish. And Hazrat Bilal, you know his status, radiallahu anhu, that what was his connection? So now listen carefully. And then we should look at ourselves. So there was Hazrat Abu Zar Ghafari, radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Bilal, radiallahu anhu. Both were sitting there, and shaitan's also there, because obviously they're humans, they're not angels, and they are companions. Great sahabi. So if these circumstances can occur with them, then what will be the issues between me and you, or for that affect me and you? Think for yourself. They're sat in that era, the generation of the Holy Prophet sohbat, and they're both sahabi, and they're both sitting down, and they had a difference of opinion between each other. They're human beings, they're not angels. They had a difference of opinion, and a slight quarrel took place, or argument. When the argument took place, then that sahabi was the darvish, Allahu Akbar, who has Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu. He was the Sufi sahabi, and he became angry. Anger came to him, subhanAllah. Imagine that. Anger came to him, and then in anger, see what anger does? Shaitan then takes hold of a person, controls him. When anger comes, then shaitan plays, just like the children when they play the marbles. Yes, and then the shaitan, he drives that person, and he makes that person do such actions that a person can't even imagine. And all occurs during the state of anger. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghafari, such a great companion. And there was a quarrel or something that they were debating. What did he say at that time? Allahu Akbar. He said to Hazrat Bilal, the Ibn Sauda, in anger, he said. and a big like mockery that you are the son of the black woman. Who is saying this? As Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu. And from his tongue these words are coming. And why they're coming? Due to anger. Anger. So me and you, what will be our hal, our circumstances and scenarios? That, oh, you son of the black mother. And he said this to Hazrat Bilal. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, he stayed silent. Okay, so when this big event took place or issue took place, then this event, the words, they arrived to the Shaykh, to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that today, what have my murids, my students done? Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Call Abu Dhar." And he was called, he was summoned. And when he was summoned, then listen the words that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said about Abu Zar Ghafari, about whom there was glad tidings, good news, good, great status. And Rasulullah said, Abu Zar Ghafari, until now inside you, jahaliyat still remains within you, that you, ignorance still remains, that you to Bilal, about his mother, you mocked him about his mother, and you made him feel ashamed, you belittled him, that was it. That was it. Such a great statement for a sahabi and for Abu Zar Ghafari, that the Holy Prophet to say such a great, a heavy statement from his blessed tongue. And he was finished there and then. As Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, he was a companion, and we are stubborn. If anyone says anything to us, oh, it will just go in one ear and come out the other ear. Oh, forget it, we'll say. But he was a sahabi, a companion. Tazkiya, Rasulullah had rectified him, purified him, his sahabi. So for him, due to his tazkiya, his rectification, his purification, his hal was that his nafs had already been crushed and crushed and toppled. So when he heard this statement from the Holy Prophet ﷺ, then he accepted this suddenly and said, "What suddenly? What happened to me? Why did I do this?" He didn't reject. Look at the difference between us and him. In other words, the sahabi, if this happened to us and we were angry, then we just digest it, absorb it. Oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter, it happened, we can't do nothing, we'll see about it. But the sahabi, what happened to him? That his nafs was controlled and had been rectified. That he suddenly, immediately accepted the feedback. He said, "Oh, how did I do this? How did I utter this statement?" And then he thought, "What shall I do now?" He went straight outside Masjid Nabawi, onto the pavement, onto the roadside, and he lay down. And he started to shriek out. And what was his request? Look at his style. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his beloved companion. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say anything to him, or he didn't say anything that leave him or except to listen to him. This was the ilaj, the cure, the how a person improves himself after this sin. So he lay down, Abu Dhar Ghafari, and he said, he shrieked out and he's crying out and saying that I will not move from here. I will die, pass away on this earth. I won't lift my neck from here until I said bad to Bilal, until Bilal doesn't come and on my neck, he doesn't put his foot on my neck and squeeze it now, Abu Dhar will pass away on this ground, but he won't get up until that occurs. And the answer didn't come from the Holy Prophet, because he accepted this cure, that his self-statement of Abu Zar Ghafari. And the Sahaba Ikram, they explained to him that Bilal will probably have forgiven you. It's okay. He said, "No, it cannot be." Because he was a high grade, high level Sahabi, Abu Dhar Ghafari. And all the other companions came in between. So when Hazrat Bilal was told that you better go and do this, he said, "I can't do this, such an action. That on Abu Dhar's neck I put my foot, oh, I can't do this action." They said, "He'll pass away, he's promised. He's made that pact, he won't get up from there." And Rasulullah ﷺ hasn't said anything about this, replied this, so we can't say anything. So then, Hazrat Bilal came. He came, and on his neck, he not just put his foot onto his neck, he implemented the full request. He put his foot onto his neck, and he pressed it down the way he should have. And then he got up from his place. What was the sin? What was the mistake? The very common for us. Because he knew, they knew that after this sin, the same hadith is from him. As Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu, is his hadith, and I present you his hadith to you. He said himself that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the cure for this disease, and he gave the cure. That there's another sahabi, bin Hakim radiyallahu anhu, he said, what is the punishment? That's why Abu Zar Ghafari radiyallahu anhu, he was in a bad state because he knew what was the punishment. What was the punishment that Rasulullah SAW said? That when a person is in the state of anger, then his iman is finished, or he's spoilt at that time. And the example was given in a way, for example, if you put contamination into the honey is wasted. Just like you put the contamination into the honey, it's wasted. So when the iman comes into you, then he's free from iman at that time. He's spoilt, contaminated. Tell me, brothers, so how is the anger inside us? We've heard the hadith, mashallah. And we think we are high status and pious. We are so pious. But have we ever thought about the anger? Is there anybody here who doesn't get angry or doesn't get angry on other people? Tell me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I start to tell you the points of this hadith I've heard from our pious elders. Point number one. Anger, that now we've understood the importance of avoiding anger. What a big sin. And how the Sahabi asked for forgiveness and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him off. Yeah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't do that normally. So then, now, listen to this masala, that Nabi al-Kareem says, that did he get anger? Was he angry on Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu? That Abu Zar Ghafari was angry on Bilal, then did Rasulullah get angry on Abu Zar Ghafari that he told him off? Yes, that was also anger. When he told him off, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was anger. So sometimes we learn that angry is permissible in some places, and it's not permissible in some places. Do you understand the point? Rasulullah's anger, that was jais, and Abu Zar's anger was not permissible. The difference was what? The anger of Rasulullah, the Holy Prophet of Allah, was the anger of the sheikh on his murid, of the teacher on the student. You understand what I'm saying? So his anger of the sheikh on the student, on the murid. So the masala that comes out here is that when a sheikh, when he for the islah of his student makes him like an animal or monkey, or he's strict on him or gives him punishment. In reality, he's not angry. He is rectifying and improving his student. He is being graceful to his, merciful to his student. Teaching him. Say subhanallah. What a beautiful point that's come out here today. Look at this point. Yeah? Very important. Doubt has been got rid of today because people say, oh, they're angry. The teacher's angry. So the anger, remember, always the sheikh's anger on the students is just like the person who's doing a favor on his beloveds with the love. Even the slap at that time will be full of the mercy and the blessings, because it will be going towards Islam. That murid who considers it strict and hardship and is stubborn and runs away, then he's become like shaitan. When shaitan became stubborn and arrogant, he didn't come back for islah to his lord. And the person who minds, the student, oh, I didn't like that, my sheikh, he was strict, I'm upset, I didn't like that, and I'm angry, why did he say this to me? In front of everybody, he disrespected me, and this, then he's a loser, he's a goner. But the student who absorbs the strictness and comes back and gives a gift, Hazrat Sahab, great stuff, you are so beloved to me, you are so beloved to me, you've cured my disease, and the student does dua for the teacher and gives sadaqat and charity and does duas. Allah says, yes, he's the real student. He's genuine. Go and write his name in the list of the walis of Allah. This is sohbat-e-sheikh, connection with the teacher. You understand this point? This is the first point. So the first point is that, look at, the biggest sin is anger. So what we need to try is our best and utmost is that we don't allow anger to come near us. It's the most wretched thing, which is anger, which it makes even the most pious of people drop down. I'll give you an example of two great companions, Abu Zar Ghafari. What a great iman, and what happened at that time, within that period of time, and how the situation went into the negative. So this is what we need to learn from. So I'm just talking about one sin with you. One sin. The Kamil, complete sheikh, his fikr concern is always that I need to prepare my students and murid for that day so he can present himself to Allah. The tazkiyah sheets that I've designed and presented to you, that is this a minor thing? We don't do them, we don't implement them, we don't fill them, this kibr, pride. We say, I don't need to fill in the tazkiyah sheets, I'm better than this. Remember this, the Kamil sheikh, from him all the solutions and systems and methods, whatever he gives to you for Islah, understand it as priceless and precious. If you consider it as a minor, look down at it and laugh at it and smirk at it, then consider you are munafiq. You haven't even come to this work of tazkiyah. You haven't even arrived. Even if the Shaykh gives you a minor hint to the murid, then it becomes his life mission. Minor hint. Why don't you do this? He understands. Oh, that's it. My Islah tariqah, my Shaykh has given me the tariqah for my Islah. Yes? So why don't you get up at this time? Oh, that's it. The order's come. A unique style the Shaykh does tarbiyah of the student. And because it's the preparation for the hereafter there, yes, his batin is being reformed. Whatever the Shaykh prepares to you and presents to you, if the murid runs after that and implements it, he's sadiq, sincere. And those people who present it to Allah who have ikhlas and sincerity, that Allah, you give me a chance and I follow the guidance of my teacher. Yes, do you understand the words I'm saying, the discussion? Do you understand this discussion of today? Do you understand? Very precious points we're discussing. My Islam, mashallah, is taking place. My improvement. I'm doing my own improvement. My own improvement. So a person should never be angry. Don't let anger come. Promise that this is the worst, the most dirty state. The Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, they were affected by this. Allah's Nabi Sallam, Jalal came into him due to the anger of the Sahabi. This is a big, big loss. Look at the loss, how big it is. What a big loss due to the anger. Listen. The loss or due to anger is when a person is angry, straight away hadith tells us, immediately at that time, Rasulullah is upset with that person, unhappy. That if Rasulullah is unhappy with Abu Zar, then can he not be unhappy with us, me and you? That do you not think your deeds are presented to him every Monday night, Thursday night? Is it not the case? So when amal are presented to them, what will be a hal at that time? Will Rasulullah be happy at that time, the Prophet of Allah? Yeah, all our deeds, the decoration, the damp, all of them have gone to waste, isn't it? You can see them now, they're all going down the drain. Yes. So anger, when a person, when Allah's Nabi ﷺ became unhappy with Abu Zar Ghafari, such a high status Sahabi, what was he said to him? That Allah's Nabi becomes unhappy. And the next point, if the Rasulullah ﷺ is unhappy, then will Allah be happy with you? Allah is unhappy. Allah's Nabi, Allah's Prophet is unhappy. Allah is unhappy. Then tell me that me and you, what luggage for forgiveness, what amal are left then after that? Which face will we show? The decoration of the damp that we're papering over the cracks? What will we present to Allah in hereafter with our zahiri and external amal? So what a brilliant point we have to understand. How the eyes suddenly open wide. That what am I doing and where am I going? Allah is unhappy. Rasulullah is unhappy. And the next second point, understand that what did Allah's Nabi say? The person who has anger inside him, that the statement that Rasul gave to Abu Zar Ghafari is a message to the whole ummah. Whoever's anger inside him, doesn't matter how high status he has, doesn't matter what the world says to him, he's this, he's this, he's that, he's famous, he has high status, respect, titles, whatever. And he thinks he's pious, and he's a muttaqi, and he's fearful of Allah, and he's this, and big titles, whatever people are given to your name, that we are deceived with, and people in society, they make a clamor, and the masjid inside, outside, people give titles and respect. Abu Zar Ghafari, where if he can get this response from Rasulullah due to his anger, then will we not get this? That all of your actions are fake and it's made up, it's nothing at all. You're a waster. Totally you're wasting time. Any person, whatever status he has, if he has got anger inside him and he's doing actions due to anger, then what's the hukum of Rasulullah? That he's in jahaliyat. He's in the days of jahiliya, ignorance. Ignorance. And he's stuck in his ignorance. And don't look at his words, don't look at his appearance, don't look at his face. Second loss. These are all the losses of anger that we learn from this hadith. So how will we improve our akhirah? Tell me. Deen has gone, dunya has gone, Allah has gone, Rasulullah has gone inside, all our deeds have gone to waste, everything's finished. Why? Because I was angry. And we praise him, oh, he's got a lot of anger. He gets angry quickly, oh, he knows what he's saying. And he doesn't let anyone sit in front of him when he's angry. No one can speak in front of him when he's angry. Allahu Akbar. This is the praise we give to people in the dunya today. So we are elevating and sugarcoating the anger. La hawla wa la quwwata. Allah said this is jahiliya. He's a fazool, waste of time person. Rejected, totally wretched in the eyes of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us this. And if you said this about a sahabi, then what will be our hal? So should we be angry then, my brothers? That grab your ears and promise I'll never be angry again. If it comes, I'll say it's a waste of time. So shall I tell you the cure as well for anger? Shall I tell you the cure? Because we have to do the cure for such a big sin. Yes, we could talk about other things, but shall I tell you the cure then for this? Will we implement the cure? Will we implement the cure? Yes. So first comes the cure. There's one cure for this. Dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. That you learn from the company of the Shaykh, the Waliullah. Yeah, these are the cures of the diseases that we learn from the company of the Waliullah. I went to Hazrat Sahib, I saw that you're not being taught namaz here, no darsi hadith, nothing here. Many days have passed here. In Hazrat Sahib's company, people come, sit down, bow their heads, and then they leave. What's going on here? I said, when I went to Hazrat Sahib Sobat first. What's all these actions in front of the Wali Allah? Ajib Wali Allah, no majlis, no conference, no speeches, no kitabs being read, no hadith, no durus. People come, close their eyes, sit down, spend a bit of time, they go, say subhanallah. What's this? Is there any environment like this? This was the mahal environment of the Sahaba. Rasulullah would be there. The Sahaba would come, close their eyes, sit down. The hadith is stated, they'd sit together, such silently and still, that the birds would come and sit on their shoulders. We've seen that environment. My Sheikh's company was like this as well. There was no gupshup, no gossip, no talking, no masleh, masail, no kitabs, no books, no hadith, nothing. Take your shoes off, straw mat, broken down straw mat, sit down, close your eyes, contemplation. And so much sukoon, peace, like there's raining down from the heavens, sakina. No noise, no clamor, but everything's taking place at that time in the company of my Shaykh. No one's talking from the tongue, but all preparation for the hereafter is taking place. Why? Was Allahu Akbar. That Shaykh, that teacher, his tawajjuh, due to his focus, due to his niyyah, all the students are taking the blessings, the mercy, the fez, because we want to prepare for the hereafter. When we're sitting there, all the diseases inside us are being eliminated, and automatically we're starting to hate the sins. Automatically we're starting, when you sit in the company of the Shaykh, the Waliullah, you automatically start to hate the sin. Say subhanallah. I saw this myself in my life, that's why I'm sharing this with you. Yes, so this is how we made effort. So first action, if you want to cure the anger, for every sin of the batin, I just spoke one example, anger today, but all batini sins, otherwise you are full of the damp today. Full of the raw. I say clearly in this masjid today, that man who doesn't cure his disease, I swear by Allah, doesn't matter how big status he has, he is full of the damp and the raw. Whoever doesn't take the hand of a sheikh and work hard on the tarbiyah, he's just wrapped himself with the cloak, with the wallpaper, he's got damp inside. Why? I ask you one question. Ask you a big question. Big announcement I've just made. You're sat here, I'm sat here. And here, let's say a stain comes onto me, a stain. And you say, oh, you'll wash it. Can you ever wash the stain? Yes, if there's a stain on you, like ink. I was eating like curry, and the curry comes onto my kameez. Because the people of Karachi, they understand korma. When I speak about korma, you know, there's korma, or curry, or pie, or nihari. Let's say you're eating nihari, and nihari, you're eating it. If you eat nihari, then at least give us some nihari as well. Share with us. So, you've got a box of nihari in front of you, and the curry, and you're eating it, and subhanAllah, let's say you're going to pray salah. That 10 years, even if you don't clean it properly, that stain will remain there. Will it be clean? Say loudly. It won't clean, will it? Automatically. Why? Because that stain, if you want to clean the stain, then you need to use that method. You have to put the clothes in the washing machine with the high temperature water, with the detergent, then it will be clean. You understand what I'm saying? So tell me now, I'll give you a worldly example of stain, of nahari, of curry on the clothes. So if you got the sin of anger, or backbiting, or envy, and it's stuck on your heart without washing, will it be removed? That I don't accept it, I haven't got any sins inside me, I'm pure, I've got no sins inside me, I'm pure. If you haven't taken, extracted the sin out of your heart, the tariqah Allah Ta'ala has told you, just like to wash the stain from your clothes, put the detergent, put the clothes in the washing machine, wash it, high temperature water, it will be clean. Allah says, same way, if a sin comes inside you, if you want to clean your sins from your heart, then clean. You can't do yourself, how do you do it? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَّلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. You must do dhikr kathir. Allah says, I've given you a detergent, so كُلُّ شَيْنْ سَكَالَةٌ سَكَالَةٌ قَلْبِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, everything has a detergent, a washing agent. So to clean the sins on your heart, the washing detergent, Allah says, is dhikrullah. This is a hadith I'm sharing with you, or is it just my own story I'm telling you? So if this is a hadith, then have you washed your heart with the soap? For this reason we do dhikr of Allah, all the stains and the sins. So when a person does dhikr of Allah, he is that one person who cleans his heart. But that person, doesn't matter how big he is, big status, piety, if he does not do dhikr of Allah, then inside him the stains and the sins cannot be removed. Until qiyamah they won't be removed. So if you see a person who is pure and clean, then first you must see, that is that individual, has he made a connection with the Wali Allah? Is he doing dhikr Allah? Yes or no? Yes or no? Do you not understand what I'm saying now? And then there's nothing to argue about then, is there? Is there anything to argue about now? No. It's clear cut masla, clear cut solution according to the Quran and Hadith. That your stains of the sins on your heart, let's say you have to follow my method. My method. Go to Wali Allah, Shaykh, learn dhikr. Only with dhikr will the stain of the sins be. Another point I'll share with you now. Another point. Fantastic point. That you are dhakir individuals. And due to dhikr achidu. So remember one point now. Dhikr of Allah. With dhikr of Allah, never can you clean that stain. Dhikr doesn't wash the heart. It cannot remove your sins. There's another new point I'm sharing with you now. Another new point. Dhikr won't wash your heart. Dhikr won't remove the stain. Dhikr does one action. What does dhikr do? Dhikr doesn't wash the stain. With dhikr of Allah, you need another factor, another element that Allah Ta'ala has also ordered. وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Allah Ta'ala says. That dhikr of Allah you must do, but it won't remove the sin. With dhikr you need a second element. Mujahida effort. Mujahida effort. Say subhanallah. Dhikr Allah, you must do dhikr. And in parallel to remove that sin, you must work hard and make effort. Just like you're given the prescription of dhikr, then you're given the tazkiyah sheet as well at the same time. So you understand what I'm saying now? It's not just dhikr I've given to you, just do dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. I know the sin won't be removed. Alongside dhikr, in parallel, you have to work hard. Like Allah said, that's why I gave you the tazkiyah sheets from Allah Ta'ala, that I've given you that method, that system, so that alongside dhikr, that you must work hard and make effort to extract the sin. Next point. Next point. And if you just work hard on its own, no. You do dhikr for this reason, that your heart that's hard like a rock due to the sins, dhikrullah makes the heart soft and glowing and illuminated. So that when you work hard and make effort, it's easy for you to work hard so you can detach from that sin. Just like the earth, and it's fertile, it's got soil, and it's a fertile. Well, if it's barren, if it's dead, will the trees grow? If it's fertile, the tree will grow, the spinach will come, the flowers come. But if the earth is barren, nothing will grow. So if the earth is barren and dead, until you don't sow that land, if you don't cultivate that land and put the seeds and the water, no plants will grow. Say subhanallah. So when you do dhikr of Allah, your heart will become soft. But the sins are there, and when the sins are there, you need the effort of the shaykh. The shaykh will take the sins out of that. I'm giving you a statement of my Hazrat Sahab. Listen to the statement of Hazrat Sahab. Hazrat Sahab said, remember, my shaykh, that without the company of the shaykh, never will you get success or salvation. Never. Why? Because we are desperate in need of the focus and intention of the dua of the shaykh. And due to the tawajjuh and the focus and the dua and the company of the shaykh, you will be saved from the sins. Otherwise, you will never leave the sins. For this reason, it's desperately, you're desperate in need to take the hand of the shaykh. Desperate. Why? Because Hazrat Sahib said, because this path is very dangerous. There are big obstacles and big restrictions, big enemies, your nafs and shaitan waiting on this path. Who every second they're waiting to take you off this path, they'll throw you into the ditches, and you won't understand. You can only come out of the traps and the ditches from the tawajjuh and the dua of the shaykh. So this is the points, these are the points that my shaykh taught me that I inscribed on my heart. Say subhanallah. So my brothers, that you are preparing properly. Understand this point. So you have hundreds of years of luggage of the dunya, but a blink of an eyelid it will vanish. So no one listens to the announcement of time. Listen to the call of death. Time is less. Go to the Wali Allah, sit in his company, and be immersed in dhikr of Allah. And in parallel alongside that, after being immersed in dhikr of Allah, look at your defects, your sins, and wash them away. Take the anger of the dunya, riya, pretense, hasad, envy, greed of the dunya, big buildings, big houses. What are you going to do with these properties? You're going to eat two chapatis, you're going to lie down on a mattress. Are you going to take all these assets with you? And the preparation of the hereafter, you don't have a shaykh, you don't go to zikr, you don't spend time, your life is passing. The call of time, no one listens, every tick, the call is saying, you've got so much time left, few hours left. Within a few hours of life left, the doctors say, oh, he's gone now, 5 hours left, 3 hours left, 2 hours left, about to die. They give the hours that he's about to die in a few hours. This is how much time is short, and we have yaqeen in the doctors, but we don't believe in the life that Allah Ta'ala said, that we have pride in our life. We are wasting time in this dunya, that you can't even use this dunya. You won't eat or drink in the hereafter with the stuff in this world. Your children, second, third child, you won't even see them in the hereafter. There's no guarantee that will you see your grandchildren, will you be alive at that time, healthy? You have no guarantee, but you're running after the dunya. Such a big destruction, such a big deception is the dunya, that you are wasting and sacrificing your hereafter for this dunya. There's no bigger stupid foolish person in this dunya than that person who wastes his time in this dunya for the sake of dunya. The intellectual person is that person who understands these words, and straight away immediately he starts to prepare for his akhirah. What is preparation for thereafter? That the way Quran is prescribed, what do we need to do? Clean your batin, purify your batin. That's preparation for thereafter. And what do you need to do to purify your batin? Wali Allah's company. And with the Wali Allah, you need dhikrullah. And with dhikrullah, what do you need? You need to work hard, make effort. Whatever he instructs you to do, you do that at the same time. Say subhanAllah. Today's majlis, this is the sabak, the lesson, my friends. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq as well. And you all individuals, may Allah give the tawfiq. The life of a few days, may we make it successful. Otherwise, it's darkness beyond darkness. Open your eyes, wake up. Time is short, wake up, my friends, the time has come. That before the death comes and wakes us up. And then we won't be able to wake up. That time, no one's sleeping, remember that time of death. When the dunya says you're slept, you are asleep. The dead man says, I've slept now. And he's listening, he's crying, shrieking, he's shocked. He said, where are you taking me? Why are you giving me a ghusl? Why are you taking my clothes off? Why are you not taking me home? And he's crying out, the dead person, because he's awake at that time of death. You know when we say he's died now, he's asleep, but he wakes up at that time. And we at this moment in time are sleeping. So what will I say? Wake up. Wake up. Time is very short. Don't do this sin. I'm 5 years, I'm 60 years, I've got time yet. My friends, we are wasting years. We are happy in wasting the years. Is this happiness? And the children are happy. This is the state of sadness. I've wasted so many years, so many decades. My children have wasted time. And we are lighting candles for birthdays because we are running after the dunya. Yes, those people in their brains have no idea what's akhirah. And we're lighting the candles and marking the birthdays because we don't know about the death that's going to come. And you're happy that the qabr is coming close to you? Subhanallah. Go and ask that person who's in the grave, that what hal are you in the grave? And you'll say, I lived a life of deception. I didn't prepare for the grave at all. Go and ask your mother in the grave. Ask your father at the grave. Ask your friends at the grave. Ask your relatives at the grave. Tell us what's going on inside. Ask them. Tell me. Yes, only one thing you'll see inside. One thing. Successful is that person who purified his heart and he presented himself the way he was going to present himself to Allah. And listen to another thing, that if a person starts to follow this journey, I've understood, and he follows this path, and don't worry about success and failure. Allah says, I'm mashkura, you have started to travel, I will accept you now, whatever you do. Anger, don't worry if the anger's come out, or if backbiting's come out. You're working hard, you're making effort, you're on the right journey, you're following the path. Simon school, Allah says, come to me. I say, leave him. Get rid of his sins, he was working hard, take him into paradise. What else do you need? What else do you need? Tell me, what else do you need? So will you work hard? Will you make effort? Those who want to work hard, grab hold of a shaykh, find a shaykh, find a teacher, ask Allah for help. Allah, guide me to a shaykh who I can learn zikr from him, and due to zikr, I want to wash my batin. Pure from my heart, go and start working hard. Recite the Durood Sharif and let's start zikr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina. اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم نسلك الافلا في الافات الدنيا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم Allah mustabilna bi sunnati wa nafa'na bi mahabbati wa ashanna fi zumrati ya kareem wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi muhammadin wa alihi sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin.